to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee back from recess. We've been at ease for an hour or so. This evening, from roughly 5 o'clock, it's a couple minutes after 5, 4 after 5 on the old clock. And we're going to run until, I think we're scheduled till 7 for call-ins around the state. I have in front of me a list from Anchorage that I'm going to work on initially to start. But with me this evening is Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, Senator Elton, Senator Thomas, and Senator Dyson. And with that, I'm going to try to keep everybody to 2 minutes so we can move through the list and everybody has an opportunity to put their input in on this. That I'd like to go ahead and call on Anchorage first. I'd like you to introduce yourself after I call your name. I'll try to read out the person that's going to come next also. And as I call one person out, I'll try to keep the other one queued up, and please identify yourself first and then try to keep your comments to 2 minutes. And with that, I'd like to call first on Jim Gilbert and then go to Hillary McIntosh, both in Anchorage. And Mr. Gilbert, if you're online.
Yes, sir, I am online. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on the AGEA bill. My name is Jim Gilbert, and I'm president and testifying on behalf of my company, Udelhoven Oilfield System Services. Our 400-plus employees provide technical expertise to the oil and gas industry in Alaska, the Gulf of Mexico, Kabilzi, Georgia, and Bohai Bay, China. First and foremost, we want a gas project sooner rather than later, and with the greatest long-term benefits to the state of Alaska, Alaskan workers, Alaskan businesses, and all Alaskans. North Slope gas commercialization holds the key to Alaska's future. We understand the importance and urgency of transforming our gas potential into a gas project. The opportunity to market our gas won't last indefinitely. There's a very real risk of losing it altogether if we don't act quickly. As currently stated, the bid requirements will limit competition in the bidding process, as well as creativity in satisfying the state's needs. The financial strength of gas producers making long-term shipping commitments outweighs the creditworthiness of a third-party pipeline builder in determining whether financial markets will underwrite a North Slope gas project. That was the message of an international mega-project financing expert when he addressed members of the legislature on Thursday. Frederick Rich of Sullivan and Cromwell contradicted administration claims that pipeline companies can give sufficient financial guarantees to secure funding for the multi-billion dollar project based on their own credit worthiness.
Mr. Gilbert, could I get you to sum up, please?
Yes, sir. Speaking to the Senate and House Finance Committees in separate presentations, he said prospective lenders will focus on the credit worthiness of shippers signing long-term capacity agreements rather than that of an independent pipeline company building a pipeline. I reiterate once again, we want a gas line, but and sooner rather than later. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gilbert. Ms. Hillary McIntosh, and following her will be Mary Shields. Ms. McIntosh, if you could please state your name and who you represent and proceed with your testimony, and please try to keep it to 2 minutes.
No problem. Thank you for allowing me to testify on Senate Bill 104. My name is Hillary McIntosh, and I'm the Communications and Development Manager for the Alaska Support Industry Alliance, but I'm testifying on my own behalf this evening. I'm concerned that the current version of AGEA does not adequately address the risks of the administration choosing a licensee, a failed open season, and cost overruns. Taking into account previous instances in which the state selected winners that weren't, such as Alpetco, Alaska Seafood International, etc., I have little confidence that the administration choosing a licensee to build the gas line will be a success. I'm an economist by education and believe the market should dictate who builds the line. There are many arrows pointing towards a failed open season. The gas tax and fiscal issues aren't resolved. There are no clear and objective criteria for evaluating proposals. North Slope producers that will be expected to finance the project through their firm transportation commitments say they won't apply. Even pipeline companies have said, no producers, no line. It's imperative a GIA be amended to ensure a successful open season. When it comes to cost overruns, I'm not convinced that a third party holds cost control as a high priority. If the builder is guaranteed to recoup all expenses, whatever they total, where's the incentive to keep costs down? Bottom line, I look at construction of the gas line the same way I would look at constructing a new home. If I don't have enough faith in who's going to build it, what it's going to look like, and how much it's going to cost me, I simply wouldn't make the investment. There's still time to make these much-needed amendments. I want a GIA to work, and the state of Alaska needs a GIA to work. The final outcome of a GIA will dictate Alaska's future. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. McIntosh, for your testimony. Following Mary Shields will be Paul Laird. Mary Shields, please.
Chairman Stedman and Hoffman, and members of the Senate Finance Committee. Good afternoon. My name is Mary Shields, and I am the General Manager of Northwest Technical Services. We employ approximately 100 people, more or less, at any particular point in time during the year. As a longtime Alaskan, and since 1972, and an active participant in many areas of Alaskan life, I appreciate your scrutiny and close examination of the bill as posited by the governor. As we are all aware, certainly you more than anyone else, it is the responsibility of the legislature to foster an investment and development climate that will add value to our state resources and encourage participation in this enormous project. I am concerned that in the governor's desire to be fair to all, we now have a bid process which does not contain the clear and objective criteria for the evaluation of applications which I would anticipate in any bid process. I am also concerned that providing a $500 million incentive would encourage those without the financial strength to carry through with a project of this size. Both RFPs, or in this case an RFA, to which I have responded, require that Northwest Technical Services shall prove that we have the financial wherewithal to pay our employees and are very specific that any expenses incurred during the course of the bid are not reimbursable. As a prudent business person, I would expect the state of Alaska to make the same requirement. We shouldn't pay any company to bid. I also have to concur with testimony that points out the state of Alaska has a disastrous record of selecting project winners. The selection of this licensee needs to follow a formalized, logical, objective course. Any subjectivity in selection needs to be eliminated. We all talk about making sure that we have jobs for our children and grandchildren in the future. They are the ones who will continue to make Alaska prosperous. With the continual decrease in oil production to keep taps filled, with the sheer loss of positions and dollars to the state coffers as this happens, it is imperative that we do not fail in getting an acceptable bid process in place, preferably prior to the end of the first half of this legislative session. We've all seen the chart. I thank you for your time. I know that you want to do what is best for the state of Alaska and for its future generations. I ask that you make sure that SB 104 accomplishes that mission.
Thank you, Ms. Shield. Following Paul Laird will be Maynard Tapp. Paul Laird, please.
Thank you for this opportunity to testify on Senate Bill 104. My name is Paul Laird, and I'm General Manager of the Alaska Support Industry Alliance. Our member companies provide the goods and services that make Alaska's oil, gas, and mining industries possible. On behalf of the Alliance, I'd like to make three key points. First and foremost, the Alliance wants a gas project. Second, we want a gas project. Third, we want a gas project. We don't believe this bill will get us one unless key changes are made prior to passage. As currently drafted, inflexible bid requirements discourage competition and creativity in the application process. We also question the $500 million inducement, establishing a virtual monopoly for the state's licensee at the possible expense of other more qualified projects, and allowing a couple of commissioners too much leeway in how they select the licensee. And until the financial risks of shippers are resolved and the state offers real long-term fiscal predictability, our gas pipeline will continue to be as transparent as the process for getting it, because there won't be one. We believe the Alaska Gasline Inducement Act may be our last and best chance to make a North Slope gas project a reality, but we also believe that in its current form, it's broken. We urge you to fix it, then pass it. The Alliance and our 400-plus member companies and their 30,000-plus Alaskan employees want a gas project. Without changes, this bill won't get us one. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nord. Following Maynard Tapp is Jerry McCutcheon. Maynard Tapp, if you could please.
My name is Maynard Tapp, and I have worked in Alaska since 1972. I'm an Alaska citizen since 1990, and Alaskan spirit since 1954, when my dad worked for the U.S. Coast Guard in Barrow. I'd like to thank the administration and the Senate committee for this opportunity to testify. At Thursday's 26th April spot price for natural gas at $7.51 per million BTUs, the state share at 12.5% would be 94 cents per million BTUs. If 1 million BTUs is approximately 1,000 cubic feet, then the production of 4.5 billion cubic feet per day, the state of Alaska revenue loss is $4,224,000 per day for every day the project is delayed. I worked on the gas line study from January 2001 until March 2002, approximately 15 months. This study spent approximately $125 million to get near the end of the conceptual design. I've included some charts with my testimony. We accomplished a lot during that time frame. Everyone worked hard and fast. The results of that effort indicated the producers wanted to move forward with the pipeline project. It will take any new player at least 15 months, or say 450 days, just to get to the point where the producers' study ended. At $4,200,000 a day, that totals $1.9 billion lost in state revenues just to get this to where we are already today, close to the end of conceptual design. At that same time, Prudhoe Bay production is declining at 6% per year, and therefore the related state revenues from the oil production is declining at the same rate. And at that same time, competing projects and technologies are moving forward. The chart I am including in my testimony is one that I've obtained when working for a world-class engineering company. It helps them to determine the amount of contingency used at any point during the life cycle of a project. It is therefore a measure of confidence that a project has in regarding known and unknown costs. These milestones cannot be compressed. You already have 2 to 3 years of testimony. Take the good stuff out of the last 3 years, incorporate it in the GIA, send it to the governor for her approval, and begin negotiations.
Could I ask you to please wrap up, Mr. Tapp?
$1.9 billion in lost revenues. Please be leaders. Do the deal now. Take the good stuff from the last 3 years and begin negotiations. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Tapp. Following Jerry McCutcheon will be Danette Romeo. Mr. McCutcheon, please.
For the record, my name is Jerry McCutcheon. I requested the same amount of time allocated to Mid-America, but I've never heard back. Thus, I'll ask again for equal time. The legislature is accorded to Mid-America. Mr. Chairman?
Mr. McCutcheon, you got a minute, 53 seconds.
Mid-America could not even get the length of time that 35 TCF would sustain the 4.5 BCFD gas line correct. I deserve to be heard and given equal time to that of Mid-America, and if I can correct Mid-America and the oil companies. If I can correct the oil companies on the weight of gas pipe steel and the Alcan gas line in their $125 million gas line study, then I deserve to be heard by the legislature. Not one of you legislators can calculate it, nor can any of your staff. Not even your contractors can calculate it. The much heralded $125 million of engineering gas line studies and the oil companies could not even get the amount of gas pipe steel close to being correct. They were way off, not only as the total amount of steel, but also as what a single piece of weight. They were not even the same errors. I offered to proofread the oil company's $125 million gas line study, but they were too embarrassed to have some guy off the street who just looked at their weights and knew they were incorrect because they were so far off. It took less than 15 minutes to come up with the correct answers. The last time I see the weights the oil companies are given by the oil companies are still using my numbers and apparently did not recalculate their own numbers. Governor Palin's gas line legislation is just a charade. Palin and the legislature are scamming the public into believing there's going to be a gas line when in fact there's not going to be a gas line. So it is perfectly clear to the audience there's not going to be a gas line. There's not even hope of a gas line. The oil companies do not have enough gas, less than half enough gas for the gas line. The Alcan gas line is not economic if there were enough gas for the gas line, nor should there be a gas line. The gas is needed for oil production. The oil companies could use more gas from somewhere else, like Point Thompson, to rebuild the gas pressure in Prudhoe Bay and increase the oil recovery rate and maximize the oil recovery, as what done for Swanson River on the Kenai.
Mr. McCutcheon, if I could get you to wrap up, please.
Prudhoe Bay will cost the state of Alaska and the nation billions of barrels of otherwise recoverable oil, just like the premature sale of gas from Cook Inlet platforms left more once-producible oil behind than was produced. Swanson River, on the other hand, where
Mr. McCutcheon, may I get you to wrap up, please?
Gas from the Kenai gas field obtained three times the percent of recovery as did the Cook Inlet platforms.
Okay. We're going to be done right now for a little while in Anchorage. We're going to move on to Fairbanks. We'll go to Fairbanks. We have two people that would like to testify. We're trying to give everybody 2 minutes so everybody that has called in will have time to put their 2 cents in. In Fairbanks, we have Mike Littlefield, and would like to have him followed by Willie Lewis, please. And if you could please identify yourself for the record when you start.
My name's Mike Littlefield. I'm a business agent here in Fairbanks for the Teamsters Local 959. As you're all aware, the Teamsters represent approximately 5,000 active and or retired members throughout the state of Alaska. Many of our members worked untold hours some years ago to construct the oil pipeline. We still have members working on the North Slope or in slope-related jobs within the oil industry. Last month at our general membership meeting, we pinned a 50-year pin on one of our members. He's got some great stories he'd love to share with any of you at any point. For the last 30 years, we've all discussed construction of a gas pipeline here in Alaska. Many of our members plan on going from their oil construction jobs to gas-related jobs. However, to date, the majority have given up on that idea. The previous administration negotiated a deal with the oil producers, which was brought to the legislative body last year. As all of you are aware, that effort did fail. Before you this afternoon is Senate Bill 104, the Alaska Gas Line Inducement Act, or AGIA, presented by Governor Palin and her new administration. Teamsters Local 959 would like to go on record thanking and supporting Governor Palin and her team for the hard work put in thus far on AGIA, which we believe may be the necessary framework for construction of a gas pipeline here in Alaska. Some say that AGIA is a huge risk and that it is destroying an opportunity for an Alaska gas line. Some say the bill favors the pipeline builders rather than the gas owners. Some even say that the state should not tell bidders what to bid. Those of us representing workers here believe that AGIA may well be the vehicle needed to move the gas pipeline project closer to reality. In our view, AGIA is a tool for Governor Palin to use while doing her job and leading our state, just as our members need tools to perform their jobs on a day-to-day basis. The governor and her staff have presented a very aggressive schedule that does contain quantifiable results. Previous committees and the governor should be applauded for including a commitment to negotiate a project labor agreement in Senate Bill 104 as well. We do not believe any pipeline company would disagree that a project labor agreement or a PLA is not justifiable on a construction project of such magnitude.
Mr. Littlefield, could we get you to wrap up, please?
Definitely. As you guys all continue your work on AGIA legislation, please remember that this gas pipeline is vital to the future economic growth of this state. We have a window of opportunity here that we really need to work on and work quickly. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Littlefield. We're going to go to John Brown right after we hear from Willie Lewis, but I want to put the fax number out for those folks that want to send in their testimony by fax, and it's 465-2187. That's 465-2187. And you're also welcome to submit your testimony in writing to the Finance Committee. You can just send it to the Senate Finance Committee, State Capitol here in Juneau. But Mr. Willie Lewis, please, if you could.
Thank you. My name is Willie Lewis. I represented Labor's Local 942 for over 21 and a half years as president. But I'm reading this letter in regards to the absence of Virgil Dunlap King, president of the NAACP. A resolution in support of a project labor agreement by the NAACP would like to be read. So whereas the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People was first established in 1909 for the purpose of social, economic, and racial equality for citizens, and whereas the Fairbanks chapter of the NAACP was established in 1952 for the same purpose, and whereas the Fairbanks chapter of the NAACP has as its member and represent the fight for economic equality and employment interests of many underutilized men and women, workers and potential workers of color in minority status in this Alaska, and whereas the NAACP has a positive history both locally and statewide of working with the construction craft trade unions for the inclusion of women's and minority workers through apprenticeship and other training programs, and whereas through such inclusion in the union apprenticeship program, many women and minority workers have accrued pension, medical, legal, and training benefits along with opportunities for a lifetime career in the construction industry. And whereas the NAACP wishes to continue to build upon that history, and whereas there is a discussion and hope of Alaska Gas Line project that could employ thousands of workers during its construction, and whereas a result of a project labor agreement, Alaska workers will be dispatched from local Alaska High Hall. And whereas once a project labor agreement is mandated through AGIA, the Construction Craft Union will have a definable goals to train Alaska workers towards, and whereas this will create real opportunity for the underutilization minority workers.
Mr. Lewis,
by the NAACP.
Mr. Lewis, could I get you to wrap up with your therefore?
Okay, therefore be it resolved on this 21st day of April 2007 that the Fairbanks chapter of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored Peoples support a project labor agreement in Governor Sarah Palin AGIA as long as there is enforceable language as part of said agreement to ensure minorities and women's participation on the project in numbers and percentages that are generally reflected of the demographical of the state of Alaska at the time of the project's inception, okay. Approved by the executive board on signed by April 21st, 2007. And okay. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Lewis, for your presentation. You can certainly fax that to us again. It's 465-2187. That's 465-2187. With that, Mr. John Brown from Fairbanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Thanks for taking the time to listen to Alaskans. Alaska's natural gas has the potential to secure our economic future, and I applaud the governor's efforts to cause a pipeline to be constructed. A project like this comes along once in a lifetime, and we have one chance to get it right. As Representative Samuel says, the tariff. We need a low tariff to ensure that the state receives fair compensation for its resource and that independent companies can afford to ship their gas in the pipeline. How do we get a low tariff? One way is to ensure a steady, productive, and predictable cost and supply of labor for building the pipeline. By including the requirement for a negotiated project labor agreement in the bill, we ensure labor stability through a no-strike, no-lockout provision. We can be sure of a competent workforce that's been trained in standardized programs that include both classroom and extensive on-the-job training. The cost of labor will be known because the wages and benefits can be agreed to prior to the start of work. And the use of in-state hiring halls will give Alaskans the best opportunity to get the jobs associated with the gas line. I urge members of the committee to include the requirement for a licensee to commit to negotiate a project labor agreement for the construction of the pipeline and all related infrastructure. Again, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Brown, for testifying. We'll go to Herbie Moses and then to Tim Sharp, both in Fairbanks. Herbie Moses, please.
Hi, yes. I'm Herbie Moses, and I'm from the rural, and I work out of local 302 operators, and I'm for support for this idea. And as a rural resident most of my life, knowing that Alaska is having a hard time on in the interior rural, most especially speaking on that the working on trying to find work in the rural on for support of this gas line. So I much appreciate for your time to be listening to me, and thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moses, for your testimony. Tim Sharp, please.
Thank you, and I appreciate you staying late after 5 o'clock. That makes a difference to me when I see our legislators working at night. Good evening. My name is Tim Sharp. I'm the business manager of the Alaska District Council of Laborers, representing 5,000 Alaskan construction, maintenance, heavy highway, and pipeline workers. We're on record supporting a project that gets our gas to market and maximizing the return to Alaskans. Based on market realities and timing, the AGEA could very well be it, and we would appreciate you paying close attention and keeping your eye on the ball. Just to beat it into the ground, we also believe that the only way this project can be done, maximizing that rate of return to Alaskans, veterans, natives, is through a project labor agreement, and we would appreciate your support. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Sharp, for your on-point and short testimony, because I forgot to push the time button. You would have got a little extra. But thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
I'd like to go from Fairbanks now to Matsu Chohegna. Or I think I pronounced that name correctly.
It is, Senator. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on Senate Bill 104. My name is Joe Hegna, and I am the oil and gas sector leader for MWH Global. With over 6,000 employees in 156 countries, we're one of the world's largest engineering and construction companies. MWH has had a presence in Alaska for well over 25 years. We have worked for both the state and the producers. On behalf of MWH, I'd like to offer our insights into the gas pipeline project and AGEA. With regard to the gas pipeline, I would provide our observations at a very high level. The gas pipeline can be a good project. Two, the project is risky. Three, the window of opportunity for this project is limited. Consequently, we at MWH believe that AGEA or any other vehicle must provide the following. One, our best effort to make the project happen. Two, reduce the project risk. Three, make the project happen now. We think AGEA needs to be modified to meet these objectives. Specifically, the following changes should be made. One, reduce the shipper's risk with long-term fiscal certainty. Two, replace the prescriptive requirements with objectives. Three, remove the $500 million incentive and let the free market determine a winner. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hegnum. With that, I'd like to bring forward Tammy Wilson. If you could, and welcome to Senate Finance. If you could introduce yourself, Ms. Wilson, and present your testimony, please.
My name is Tammy Wilson, and I'm from Fairbanks. And first of all, I want to say thank you. This is my first time to Juneau. And just for a little word for those of us who talk around a telephone, it's nice when you guys talk into the microphones. That way we can actually hear you when we're not here. But I just want to thank you for what you've done so far on AGEA, especially on a project labor agreement. I am a wife of a millwright and a mother now of one in the operators 302. So some of that training that we've gotten from the federal government is going to work. So just to let you know, we are training our children. I had a son who was 19, didn't know where he was going, didn't want to go to college, didn't really want to get off the sofa. And we ended up with this fast track program for him to be a mechanic on heavy diesel equipment, and it really sparked his interest. And he has completed with a 4.0 grade point average, and that wouldn't be even available if it hadn't been for this gas line. So we do have the people here to work. So to let you know that, I really appreciate you putting that. I'm glad we have, that we're going to have hiring halls here, and we're going to take care of ours. I've heard a lot of the testimony from ConocoPhillips and Exxon. They want to do it their way, but you guys can do it the right way because you're here to protect us. And I just want to say thank you, and I think you've done a wonderful job.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. With that, I'd like to go back to Anchorage, queue up Danette Romano and Paul Kendall. And if we can start with Danette, and if I mispronounce your name, I apologize, but if you could please pronounce your name and begin your testimony, please.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you this evening. My name is Danette Justice Romano, and I'm a financial advisor for Octavia Security. I've been in the investment business in Anchorage, Alaska, 21 years. I have earned the trust of my clients through recommendations and information pertaining to their specific goals and objectives. As an advisor to my clients, I make recommendations based on risk, liquidity, investment quality, and tax ramifications. Without this information, the investments I make for my clients would be inappropriate, and I would therefore be held accountable. So what does this matter to you? Everything. I am your client, as all Alaskans, and you are our advisors, and I feel that AGEA may not be putting Alaska's needs before its own. Why do I say this? I have asked the state of Alaska and several representatives repeatedly as to why the state felt a $500 million incentive would be needed to secure a competitive bid. Obviously, the state felt that the bids would not be competitive otherwise. Is the state attempting to buy competition? What does a measly $500 million to a potentially $30 billion, probably $40 billion project offer? Herein lies the quality of the bidder and the risk of the project. If the state has to offer $500 million to a bidder on a project of this magnitude in order to get them interested, I am now extremely worried about the project ever being completed. What is the evaluation process in selecting a potential bidder? What are their risks? Quality, liquidity, and can they afford a tax rate that cannot be determined prior to investment? If there's anyone in these rooms who can make an investment decision without understanding their tax ramifications, I strongly suggest they contact their financial advisor immediately. How can any person or company properly prepare any bid without knowing what their liabilities are? What is the state of Alaska really trying to do? What is the state, why does the state feel compelled to assume this risk without understanding the quality, liquidity, and tax issues, and how can you expect others to make the same investment without necessary changes? I want this gas bill, and I want it now, but I want a successful project.
Ms. Romano, may I get you to wrap up, please?
With the state of Alaska for our resources, not by doling out $500 million, I want companies to bid on this project with full knowledge of what their liabilities are. Without this, me and all Alaskans assume greater risk, a risk we cannot afford.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Romano, for your testimony. We'll go to Paul Kendall, and following him will be Matthew Paganini. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Stedman. Paul D. Kendall, I have no conflict of interest. I represent no party, no corporation, or no bent position. You know, rather than read what I've written, I'd just like to say, you know, this is just silly talk. I have watched silly talk now for several weeks. When you're a private enterpriser and you want to partnership with public enterprise, you're obligated to come forward and to lay out to the public your contract to them. You folks, along with our governor, have performed responsibly because you have, in essence, set our assets out for the community to see the value and waited for the partnership. I have watched these people bob and weave. I have watched them dodge. I have watched them shift. I am fascinated, at the same time concerned. I have never seen such testimony before by a free enterprise that wants to engage with the public. something is terribly wrong with this. Either the brutality of their negotiation, which would infer to me you'll get nothing unless you stand and hold your position, or something is terribly wrong with some contract cut with Qatar or somebody else. Something is terribly inappropriate. I hope that you'll hold your position. You know, it's one thing to lose billions of dollars because you get pushed or intimidated or bullied in a few months. It's another thing to lose your dignity and pride and the content of the character of your people. So I would hope that you would continue to hold the line. And the next time one of those people get up and spook and spank and hug you at the same time, which is what the testimony infers, I suggest you bring them to Anchorage and swear them in by a judge and put them on camera and have them make the offer to us so we might see the true value of their commentary. Because so far, I went back through some of the tapes. They have given nothing. Nothing. And the other day or today, just as you asked the gentleman from Conoco to please add not just the concerns he had in the Aegea, but also to offer some resolution, it is the same methodical, coordinated testimony. You never go anywhere. And that is not how a good business deal is done. A good business deal is you can't wait to get there to share your enthusiasm, to win the contract, to go somewhere special. Something is wrong about this, and I thank you all for your time and participation and dedication to a higher degree, and that is the service of the people that you represent and the assets that their children will be responsible for. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kendall, for your testimony. Following Matthew, Faganini, Lynn Johnson. Matthew, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for this opportunity to testify on Senate Bill 104. My name is Matthew Fagnani. I am the president of WorkSafe, a subsidiary of NANA Development Corporation, and also a past president of the Support Industry Alliance. As I monitor the activity in Juneau, read the petroleum news, and listen at the water cooler, I'm concerned that we will not get a pipeline. As a company whose employees earn a living on a healthy oil and gas industry, I am concerned that Aegea in its current form will not get us there. I understand the purpose of a method of dictating terms and soliciting applications rather than negotiating, but when the current leaseholders are not enthusiastic about a bill, I would listen to their concerns. Amendments to this bill may be needed. However, what I hear the state implying is if you do not bid or provide gas during the open season, then your leases may be at risk. And of course, I'm paraphrasing that. What I really hear is project delays and many years of lawsuits. The bottom line is we need a gas line, and we need one as soon as practical. If Aegea fails, it will do more damage to the state's and the economy of the state than any other single event. I, for one, want to see a gas line pipeline project. I am very concerned that the state will not be able to meet its financial commitments beyond 2010. Each year's delays add to the overall cost of the project, and in the end will affect the marketability of Alaska gas. It is time to sit down and really negotiate a bill that will work for the leaseholders and potential bidders, the proverbial win-win. The future of Alaska rests with this bill. Do right by the Alaskan economy and its people by fixing this bill so it can provide for a strong, healthy Alaskan future. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. We'll go to Lynn Johnson, and following her will be Avis Thompson. Lynn Johnson, please.
Thank you, Chairman Stedman. It's Lynn Johnson. I'm a guy.
Sorry about that.
Good afternoon, Chairman Hoffman and Stedman and co-chairs Huggins and other esteemed and distinguished members of the Senate Finance Committee. My name is Lynn Johnson, and as most of you know, I am the president and co-founder of Dowland Bach Corporation and a past president of the Alaska Support Industry Alliance. First of all, I'd like to thank you all for your diligent and thoughtful work to date on Aegea and Senate Bill 104. I suspect that you have all had numerous visits, emails, and phone calls recently on this subject. The reason for all of this fuss is that Alaska needs to get going on a gas line project now, not later. It appears to me that we are now further away than ever from passing any legislation enabling construction of our natural gas pipeline to the lower 48. One of the major players now says that they are not even going to bother to submit a bid and apply for a state license to build the North Slope gas pipeline, and I honestly suspect that other majors are thinking in the same vein. We were much closer to a pipeline 12 months ago, and it seems to be getting worse by the day. As a businessman doing business with the producers, I obviously have empathy for their position, but this big anti-big oil rhetoric has got to stop. Taxes on the oil portion of their current business provide 88% of our current state revenue, and has done so for years, and this is how we treat them. We need to make key changes to this bill prior to passage, including ones that include eliminating exclusivity and replacing.
Go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. We're going to go ahead and adjourn the Finance Committee this evening a little bit early. The phones are quiet, so we're going to go home and get some rest. We've all had long days, and we'll start again here at the table. 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Meeting adjourned.